The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will soon have a new prophet. 93-year-old Russell Nelson is expected to officially take the reins of the Mormon Church tomorrow, succeeding Thomas Monson, who died earlier this month. Nelson, just a few months younger than the oldest person to ever lead the church. The change in leadership comes at a time of rising political importance for the church. Former Massachusetts governor and Mormon Mitt Romney reportedly told a close friend he's running to fill the Utah Senate seat fellow Mormon Orrin Hatch is leaving at the end of the year. And while he's not officially announced his intention to run, Romney's widely considered a top contender for that seat and a possible candidate for president in 2020. So lots going on in the church. Let's bring in Patrick Mason, associate professor of religion and chair of Mormon studies at Claremont Graduate University. Professor, welcome.
It's great to be with you, Robin. Thank you.
Talk about this change in leadership. Is Nelson now the Pope of the Mormon Church?
For all intents and purposes, I think that's a good way to put it. So he will technically be known as the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but he will also be regarded by faithful Latter-day Saints as the prophet. So he's not only the administrative head of the church, but he's also seen as the spiritual leader of those nearly 16 million Mormons.
Well, how does this work? Because we know when a new pope is chosen, in addition to the smoke coming out, cardinals debate for days until they reach a consensus. This seems to be age-based because Nelson was the oldest, the most senior member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, which is kind of like, I guess, the Cardinals, if you continue the comparison. But he doesn't have any religious leadership in his background.
That's correct. I mean, the presidency of the church, when the president dies, the senior-most apostle becomes the next president of the church. It's a very orderly and predictable process, and this goes all the way back to the early years of the church. Latter-day Saints see this as God leading the process through, you know, because God can determine who lives and who dies and how long people live. So it's not according to age per se, but rather seniority. Mm-hmm. But you're right that President Nelson spent most of his life in his profession as a heart surgeon. And it wasn't until he was 60 years old that he was called into this senior most level of the church. Along the way, he had held a number of different ecclesiastical leadership roles at the local level. But, you know, he was 60 after a full and distinguished career that he became a general leader of the church.
Well, this is so interesting that the thinking is that the oldest then is somehow blessed because God has let them live this long, which completely removes any genetics. So anybody who has cancer gene or something can't possibly ever lead the church. Well, you know the criticism that this leads to the gerontocracy, you know, mm-hmm. that it's only ruled by the oldest. How is it seen that the church leadership can be so old? When the church is skewing younger, the Pew Research Center says the median age of Mormons in the U.S. is 43. That's younger than the general population. How is someone in their 90s seen as adapting to the world that 43-year-olds are living in? Or is that the point? You don't.
Well, I think that partly is the point. I mean, the way that church leadership is set up, especially succession, it is inherently conservative. And I mean that more organizationally than ideologically, although, of course, the LDS Church has taken a number of conservative positions. But part of the point is that by the time somebody becomes president of the church, they've already been in leadership now for decades. They are very familiar faces to the membership of the church. Now, of course, it becomes a problem in the case of, you know, with advanced age and all of the problems that come with that, with physical or mental health. But the idea there is that they have lots of other helpers, that it's not only the president of the church, but also these 12 apostles who together lead the church.
How do you get on that track? How do you get to be an apostle? Is it a vote or how?
Yeah, apostles are appointed by the current president of the church. So he was appointed actually by the man who he was his own personal physician. So this is one of the powers that the president has, is to appoint new members to the Quorum of the 12. And we'll see that in this case as well. Nelson will have the opportunity to appoint two new members of the Quorum.
And talk about the church role he steps into as it's just been vacated by Thomas Monson. Start with what I understand is a mantra that he had, to the rescue. A story he would tell about, you know, the Mormon pioneers who responded to each other's calls of distress when they were crossing the plains. And people saw him as reinterpreting that for them today.
That's right. And he told many, many stories from his own life about going to visit a widow, going to visit somebody in the hospital, going to visit the poor. And so for him, that was the essence of his ministry. That's what Latter-day Saints will remember him for, are those stories of compassion and humanitarian outreach.
And yet, he also oversaw the church when it resisted calls for female ordination, fought against same-sex marriage, a highly contentious fight in California, introduced a policy barring children of same-sex couples from being baptized into the church as well.
That's absolutely correct. And that's going to be the legacy, President Monson's years in office, is really walking a tightrope here between, on the one hand, this compassionate outreach, on the other hand, really drawing the line in the sand on issues related to marriage and sexuality and women's roles in the church. Now, women's roles in the church expanded under President Monson's leadership, but ordination seems to be completely off the table. And so that, I think, is going to be the path that the church has to continue to navigate between, on the one hand, adjusting to a changing culture, but on the other hand, hewing to what remains a conservative set of doctrines.
Some of its beliefs are not tracking with the Protestant Church or the Catholic Church, and it's been somewhat closed. But then, of course, Mitt Romney ran for president, and people were eager to know what does his faith mean to him, and what would it mean to policy? So now he looks like he's going to be running for senator. Is he also seen as someone who could ultimately lead the church?
It's conceivable, and people have talked about the possibility of Mitt Romney being called into the Quorum of 12 Apostles. He's a very faithful Mormon. He held a leadership role at the local level when he lived in Massachusetts. I think that's probably unlikely. The church needs people or wants people in various positions of esteem and responsibility around society. And so I think it's useful for the church to have its members in the higher echelons of business and politics and other kinds of things.
Well, and what would you say to people who worry when a church, and any church, gets involved in public policy, as the Mormon Church did in fighting the same-sex marriage in California, in particular in this church? Because if we understand, Mormons believe America has a particularly divine role, that some of the lost tribes of Israel actually came to America, that Jesus was here, and that America has a destiny. What would you say to those who worry about a Mormon perhaps imposing their thinking on policy?
I think most Mormons, the vast majority of Mormons, feel very much about the relationship of religion and politics that we saw play out in the 20th century, especially with the Catholic Church. So you think about John F. Kennedy and, you know, his statement before Protestant ministers, you know, that he'd be the president for everybody, that even though he was personally Catholic, he wouldn't take orders from the Pope. Of course, Mitt Romney gave a similar speech when he was running for president. So I would join the chorus of those who would say there's really not that much to worry about. They simply want to bring their morals and values that they learned from their faith into the public sphere.
Well, and now we have Russell Nelson leading the church. Have you ever had a president who said, because I'm old? You know, I can't. Has there ever been one who said, no, I really don't want this?
It's conceivable that it could happen, but there's no precedent and there's no signs that it will.
What might be on the horizon for Russell Nelson? Any chance of ordination for women?
I'd say there's basically zero chance
okay.
for ordination for women or in the short term, or for a full acceptance of same-sex marriage or something like that. If there is a surprise, it would be more modest, for instance, of choosing an apostle from Africa. I don't expect to see any radical changes in church doctrine or its social policies under a Nelson administration.
Right now, aren't the apostles all white males, mostly from Utah? I think one's from Germany.
That's right. There's the one from Germany, but they're all white men. Many people in the church say it's time for the leadership to reflect the global diversity of the church.
Well, that would be something, an African apostle.
Yes.
Especially since the church once banned blacks. Patrick Mason, a professor of Mormon studies at Claremont Graduate University, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that ban was against black church members holding priesthood offices. It was lifted in 1978 by the then president of the church after he said he had a revelation from God, really illustrating the power of the prophet. And again, a new one, Russell Nelson, expected to be installed tomorrow.